I've known John Cariani briefly because he's a good old friend of one of our wardrobe goddesses, Liz Fitzpatrick Griffin, and he's come to our shows, but we've never had a chance to sit down and talk about his career as an actor and as a playwright. He is the author of Almost Maine, which has been done by probably more times than the complete works of William Shakespeare abridged by every high school and some of the colleges across the country. And so I finally get to talk to John about being a playwright and an actor, and there are so very few of us. John, I'm glad to have you finally come to the meetings.
It's nice to be here.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or tablet or phone. I'm Austin Titchener, one-third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, number 464, Writing Almost Maine.
Sure as the day follows the night, sure as the sky turns to blue, this much I know, this much is true. Above all else in whatever you do, to thine own self be true.
That was actor and playwright John Cariani as Nigel Bottom in the Broadway musical Something Rotten. I talked with John and his Broadway castmates Brad Oscar and Heidi Blickenstaff a few weeks ago, and afterwards, John was good enough to stick around so we could talk about how he wrote his play Almost Maine, one of the most popular and widely produced scripts here in the U.S.
I can't believe you're.
What prompted the writing of Almost Maine? I know that's a boring question. You've been asked a million times.
No, I got a good quick answer. When I moved to New York City in the late 90s, a bunch of my friends and I, character actors all, I started writing monologues for myself because so many of the good monologues were overdone. So you needed to have fresh material, and I wrote myself some monologues. Those monologues became stories, then they became sketches and short plays that we would do just anywhere we could find a space. Right. You know, when you're in your 20s and you want to show people you can act, you have to do it yourself and show people what you can do.
Well, and in our business, you can't just paint in your studio. You know, you've got to do it someplace for people.
Yeah. You got to find a little space and do it.
Yeah.
And someone from NBC, my manager hooked me up with someone from NBC. His name was Lou Viola. And he was in charge of Performance Space NBC. And it was when...
That's here in New York?
That's here in New York City. And it's when Friends, the comedy Friends, mm-hmm. Had been around for a while. I think we're into the early 2000s now. And Seinfeld had been around for a while. Mm. And NBC was cultivating new comedians, new comics, new comic writers. Right. And so I got to perform my short monologues, sketches, songs... at this place called Performance Space NBC. It was all subsidized by NBC. They paid for the space and provided all the technical support.
Sweet.
And they gave you like 4 Mondays a year. That's what I seem to remember. And so you get a Monday in April, a Monday in May, and then a Monday in September, a Monday in October. That's kind of how I remember it. And we would present our material, and in return for all the free space and the free support, technical support, NBC would own your material for 30, 60, 90 days, I can't quite remember.
Okay.
And then at the end, and they could decide if they wanted to move on it and like turn it into a TV show or a pilot or whatever it was.
Cool.
They never decided to move on any of my stuff, but over the years of doing those shows, a director named Gabe Barry, who's represented on Broadway by Amazing Grace right now, his wife and I are good friends with one of the actresses I worked with, Ibby Janko. And Gabe saw these evenings of short plays, and his wife said, you know, I think there's something here, and he helped me compile. We noticed that a bunch of the sketches I had written were all love stories, romances, very unusual romances, mm-hmm. kind of had a Twilight Zone quality to them. They were all set in a town in a very far away place in northern Maine, and they were all set in winter, and they all had magical elements to them. And so he helped me kind of pull together the stories that felt like they were of a piece, and uh-huh. that began the formation of Almost Maine. And then after that, we developed it at the Cape Cod Theater Project, then at Portland Stage Company. It premiered off Broadway in 2006. And then after that, it got done at a lot of professional companies all over the country. And then shortly after that, it took off in the community theater, college world, and especially the high school theater
right.
world, which is kind of crazy.
But what a great – that seems like such a – kind of the ideal way to develop a piece.
Yeah.
I mean, it didn't even – as with so many things, you do something for the love of it,
yeah,
and then it turns into a thing that you can actually make a little bit of money from.
Yeah.
Was there much extra new writing you had to do to make it turn it into an evening and a play?
Well, I really wanted to make it a play and not just a little collection of short plays. Yeah. And so we decided, you know, at one point I think we had about 5 scenes, and it's now 9. And so it took a while to find what the other 3. I had to write them, and I got to write those specifically to fill in gaps. You know, it follows, it examines the relationships, mm-hmm, from meeting through the difficulties that arise in a, yeah, relationship, and it kind of is I guess it's kind of a life cycle of a relationship. And so each story tackles a different aspect of love, I guess you could say. And I had to fill in some of the missing slots.
Why do you feel like it's taken off so much? It feels to me, to answer my own question, I mean, it's about young love, but it's not. They're not all young.
I think they're all pretty hopeful. I think it is young love in that it's mostly people who are 20s, 30s. I think, you know. So I guess it is kind of young. I think also it's pretty hopeful.
Yeah.
I also think it's a real romance. Like, the romantic person, like, this is, it's not a sentimental comedy, it's a real romantic comedy. And F. Scott Fitzgerald said that the sentimental person thinks that everything is going to be just fine, and the romantic person has a desperate confidence that everything's going to fall apart. And I think that I'm a romantic, and I think most people are romantics, and right, I think most people who write love stories want them to be romantic in the sense that people should feel like it's all going to go to hell, but people who are telling the story or involved, who are in the story, are trying like hell to make sure that it works out. And I think it's hopeful and sad at the same time.
And
a lot of my friends who direct in high school say that kids who are in high school are experiencing first love and first pain.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what these stories are kind of about, the first really deep pain you have and the first really deep love you have.
Well, and that's so right on, but also that's such a great acting note, mm-hmm, too, because if you're desperately thinking it's going to fail, there are stakes.
Yes, anybody who's playing an ingenue, any kid out there who's playing an, yeah, ingenue, and you don't want to play it like everything's going to fall apart. That's, yeah, the only way to play ingenues. It's the only way to make them believable. It's the only way to make people stomach those storylines that we think are so corny. If you play it like it's all going to fall apart, you're going to win people over, and it's going to be fantastic.
Absolutely. You've got people fighting for something.
Yeah.
Well, and you, we talked a couple of weeks ago about the show you're in right now, the Broadway show Something Rotten, the musical,
yep,
and where you play one half of the major love interest of the show. And I love how it's, because they used to be, the love stories in all these old musicals used to be ardent, and now they're funny. And I think funny is a much better choice. But they're no less ardent.
Right.
But they're funny. I don't know what my point was, except to say that you and I'm forgetting her name.
Kate Reinders.
You and Kate Reinders brought such desperation to this, to the relationship you had, that it was touching and funny.
Yeah, I've always wanted to play love stories, but when you're a character actor, you look like I do, you don't get to.
Right.
And Almost Maine is a bunch of love stories for character actors. And playing Nigel Bottom was a dream come true, because it was his character is the love story.
Yeah.
And it's a love story that suits somebody who's a little quirky.
Yeah.
And that's what's kind of nice, is that he doesn't think he's all that.
Right.
He thinks he's not really worthy.
Right.
And so he can't believe that it's happening
to him.
And even as it's happening, he's like, this can't be happening. This isn't going to go well. This is going to end badly. And
right.
And it doesn't.
Oh, God, I hope what he's saying is true.
Austin, you want me to do what? Oh, Jesus, Mary and Joseph and the donkey. Hi, I'm Jane Martin, and I play the voice of Molly Bloom in the All the Great Books Abridged. And you're listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcasts. Stupid Egypt.
Where can you RSC the RSC? Our fall and winter of 2015-2016 tour continues this week with performances of The Complete History of Comedy Abridged and The Ultimate Christmas Show Abridged in Louisiana, North Carolina, Missouri, Kansas, California, Michigan, and Georgia. And then next April and May of 2016, we'll perform the official Reduced Shakespeare Company premiere of William Shakespeare's long-lost first play, Abridged, at the Folger Shakespeare Theater in Washington, D.C. As always, the very best way to stay up to date about all of our worldwide performance dates is to sign up for the Reduced Reader, our email newsletter. Go to ReducedShakespeare.com and click on the link to subscribe and check out our touring page for specific box office venue and ticket information. And now back to my conversation with John Cariani about his play Almost Maine, which earlier this year generated some controversy at one of the high schools where it was being produced. There's been some controversy. There was a controversy recently about a production, like a high school production of Almost Maine. Has that happened a lot? And do you, are you as the author, the playwright, able to take steps to ease the tensions or quell the controversy or assure everybody it's all going to be okay? Or how does that affect you as a playwright?
Well, we get a lot of requests to – there's one scene about a very chaste scene about two men who literally fall in love.
But literally fall. They literally fall over onto the ground.
Yes. When they fall in love, they fall down. Because that's what happens. You don't see it coming. You don't know what's going to happen.
Right, right.
And I just thought it would be – when I was developing the play, in a talkback once, I said that I wanted to explore all aspects of love. And someone in the audience raised her hand and said, why are there no depictions of homosexual love? And I thought, oh, I don't know. That's a really good question. And so I took a story that I had written that had been cut from the play because we felt like it was a repetition of another story, and decided to make it a story of a same-sex couple falling in love.
Right.
But it's about the very beginning of that love. It's not about anything past the admission of love.
And, right.
It's about as chaste and sweet as can be and clean as can be.
Yeah.
And it has generated some controversy. In 2011, there was a school in Maryland. The ACLU had to get involved because a school board tried to pull it because of that scene. And it just happened in North Carolina. A couple of churches got loud and decided to cause some difficulties for the principal at Maiden High School, and he had to pull the play. And ultimately, the show went on in both cases. I think it just shows people that the Supreme Court may have said gay marriage is okay.
Yeah.
But I feel like, you know, there's a long history of looking at homosexuality as a sin, and I think that that's going to take a long time to wipe away from our public consciousness, because a lot of people are raised to believe it's bad, bad, bad.
Yeah.
And it's just going to take a while to teach people that love is not a thing you choose, and love is something that happens to you. And if we can just let kids love who they love and not have to worry about who it is, they can have all the regular problems that teenagers have, which are plenty.
And there are so many more important things to worry about and be upset about. Well, I guess the good news about the controversies, we've had one or two ourselves about the Bible show.
Sure.
The good thing is that it kind of highlights the power of theater.
Yeah.
People are scared.
Yeah.
I mean, when people are scared of a stupid little play, that's awesome.
The Washington Post just wrote an article about it because there was an opera called – you have to look it up. There was an opera that was banned or that caused a lot of controversy that the Met did recently.
Okay.
And then this Catherine Rampell is her name. She wrote about that and Almost Maine and said, you know, it's funny, but when you put these issues in front of people live, it's a different kind of controversy than when they're separated by the screen of a television or the screen of a movie theater or the screen of an iPad or a phone.
In theater, it's really happening.
It's right in front of you.
Those kids on stage are really it's happening to those kids.
Yeah.
So when we were talking about Something Rotten, the thing I forgot is that you one of your acting credits is from one of my favorite Shakespeare adaptations.
I'm in your book.
You're in my book.
I'm
That's
so excited
right.
Excited about that.
I know. You
gave me the book, and I was like, oh my god, I'm in the book. That's a good book too.
Oh, thank you.
It's a really fun book.
Thank you. Well, listen, if it ever gets a second public printing, you're gonna have to write a blurb for it.
Okay.
Scotland, PA, which is a modern day version of the Scottish play set in competing burger franchises in Pennsylvania in the 70s.
Yep.
And you play the Barney Fife-ish deputy to Christopher Walken's
Lieutenant Macduff.
Lieutenant Macduff.
And we wish that we had named my character Bernie Wood.
Oh.
Wouldn't that have been funny?
Yeah.
But we didn't think of it too late.
Oh, no. What was it like working with Christopher Walken?
I think it was the first movie I made.
Okay.
And it's like working with any actor. You show up, they introduce themselves, and you start to work.
Yeah.
And that was the biggest, that was difficult for me because I was a little tingly the whole time.
Sure. Sure.
But fortunately, the first thing I had to do with him, all I had to do was walk in, turn on the light, ask him a question, and leave. That's what I remember. So I didn't have to talk much. But it was hard. It was very difficult for me.
Oh, I bet it was.
Because they don't, those people don't understand how much we love them. I guess they do, but they don't have time to deal with that because they have to deal with the work that they have to do. And that was what was hard.
Yeah. They've got their own shit they got to worry about.
He has a lot of lines to deliver that day. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he's also got to figure out what he's doing.
Yeah.
He doesn't have time for you to be like, wow, oh, my God.
Can I show you my impression of you?
Yeah.
Do you do it walking now?
No.
So I can't. Dominic Conti and I have done several.
I'm not good at mimicking people.
Oh, okay. That's fine.
I want to be.
Do you?
Yeah, but I'm not good at it.
Oh. You speaking of Desperate Love, another one of your credits is Model to Taylor in Fiddler on the Roof, which was, you have one of the great songs of the musical theater canon, Miracle of Miracles.
Yeah.
Was that kind of a dream come true, playing that role? Did you know that show?
I feel like my whole life has been, there are more things in heaven and earth than can be dreamt of in your philosophy. Like, because all the things I thought would happen haven't happened, and other things that are better and crazier have happened.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I
never really thought I'd be in a Broadway musical because I never thought I could sing.
Okay.
I have a hard time with the mental aspect of singing. I think singing is very difficult.
Right.
It's a, you got to trick yourself into thinking you can do it.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was beyond a dream come true, I would say.
When I was watching Something Rotten, I was looking at you and thinking, all right, he's got some time off stage now. I wonder if he's in his dressing room writing the next play. Are you?
I'm working on, I had to edit a couple plays that are getting published this summer. And
nice.
Then I have a new one that I'm working on.
Cool. Well, Jesus, good luck. I'm so glad we finally got to talk.
Me too. And it's so funny to talk to you backstage and have seen you in your shows, and to know you peripherally is so funny, and to know what's going on in your life, like where you are sometimes too, because I knew when you were in Singapore, when you were in Hong Kong. It's just so funny. Yeah?
That's true. You've been stalking me on social media.
Well, it's just funny to know someone who knows you pretty well and talks about, it's just very funny.
Well, it's funny.
I don't know you.
No, I know. This is the longest conversation we've ever had.
Yes. I love what you do so much because you take things, I just think what RSC does is it brings stuff to people. I just feel like for a lot of people, seeing that Bible show is for many people, it's the first experience they've had with the Bible, because so many people are raised without knowledge
religion.
Of the Bible.
Yeah.
And without religion right now, which I think is fine, but it's also, we're missing a huge chunk of that. That's an important book there.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, I think people need to know that book.
I think you need to see, it would be lovely if you could see more celebrations of it that were funny.
Yeah.
That were life-affirming and not condemning.
It's interesting how we all talk about how Confucius is so brilliant and the Dalai Lama is so beautiful, so brilliant. And then when you look at the words of Jesus themselves just as words, they are outstanding. Do you know what I mean? I think people forget.
Right.
Like when just read as philosophy.
Yeah. When you go to the source, it's awesome. And when it gets filtered through
us.
Cheese balls.
Us.
Yeah, us.
When we
ruin
it.
Yeah, when we ruin it, then
it gets a little uglier.
It gets uglier. That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. Send us your love stories for character actors via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com. You can also engage with us and other fans on Facebook or Twitter, and I hope you'll post reviews of this podcast on iTunes. You can find easy links to all these social networks at our website, reducedshakespeare.com. Thanks, as always, to webmaster Matt Rippey, ineffective detective Matthew Croak, music by John Weber and GarageBand. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to Brita Bremer. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to Jane Martin, the Reduced Shakespeare Company General Manager, voice of Molly Bloom in all the great books abridged, and the slideshow in the Complete History of America abridged, and also the director of Sonoma Valley High School's production of Almost Maine. And finally, thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Tichner, 464, 1390 seconds of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
But I love your introduction to like even your sports show, which I haven't seen, I just think it would be great for people who self-proclaimed haters of sports would love it, because it's about human drama, and all sports is like drama that is not, it's created drama that's really fun to watch. You know, like it's so fun to watch the guys watch the baseball games, because every baseball game you've got like the pitcher's about to pitch, they show the batter, they show the pitcher, they show the pitcher, batter, pitcher, the pitch, home run, you know, total, like, it's always a new story. It's awesome.
This podcast is a production of the Reduce Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reduceshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.
So much less.